meeting today that celebrate that. I didn't get a count of how many people there, but there were at least 20 people in the coffee coming to meeting today. How many people? We turned the corner of the new year with Christmas helping us out and busted the 100 mark at 105 people. Less than 4 months after that, if our attendance today is what we think it is, we're going to break the 150 mark for the month in less than 3 months. For the second month in a row. We need that. We need to push on toward 3,000. All right? We need to do that. Another thing that we do today, I'm talking about our time. We're telling our time today. Home church folks know what that means. Covenant folks now know what that means. The rest of you are going, that's free peace. That's all I got. Well, here's the deal. It means everybody's important. We need everybody. We need every $5 and every $500. We need every bathroom worker. We need every playground builder. We need every painter. We need everything. Kids worker. We need all of it. And sometimes we don't recognize those people enough. So I want to do some recognizing this morning. I know nobody knew this was coming. Carolyn didn't even know this was coming. All right? So I want to give away a few things today. I want to exalt some members of our congregation today. Anybody happy this morning that they got to come in, ladies, or stand up, guys, and pee at a clean toilet today? Teaches. somebody doesn't show up, Rhonda does the check-in. If somebody doesn't show up, Rhonda does kids on mission. If somebody doesn't show up, Rhonda changes the light bulb. All right? If somebody needs something built, Rhonda sends Mike. So the golden right hand, all right, goes to Rhonda. Woo! So, all right? It may be love that makes the world go round, but your service, your love, your taking and jumping all in with your finances and your hands and your feet makes the church go round. We are the body of Christ, and everybody is important. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Ten Commandments, part one. God says, I am, and that is all. If you get that right, everything else works out. Part two, he says, in case you missed it, don't be building nothing else to cheer to. Cheer to me and me alone. Did you catch my drift? Amen and amen. Today we're at part three. Do not take the name of the Lord. You have to say it like that because it's in the Old Testament. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Let's have a conversation. Not an easy conversation. Not a generally church pastor conversation, but I don't know any other way to do it, and I'll try to be couth about it. Okay? This does not, nor is there any other place in Scripture that says, don't cuss. The third commandment is not something you throw at your children when they say crap and say, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Since when is the Lord's name poop? Which takes me to another place. We laugh, but we don't think about the things that we say. I just said that the third commandment doesn't say do not swear. And there is not a commandment in the Scripture that says do not swear. I am saying that. What I am not saying is the preacher just said I'm allowed to swear. No, I'm not. But that is not something. What in the world? I tried to love on you, man, and you disappeared. Look. Kristen, you should have held on to that, honey. I tried to help. Listen to me. Swearing, cussing is about culture. It's about words that you learned in high school. Denotation and connotation. Do you understand that? Denotation and connotation. What a word means in the dictionary and what a word means inferred, okay? What people feel like a word means, okay? Listen to me, I'm not letting anybody off the hook here. But it's really funny when I get on an airplane, and I used to travel all the time, and I'd sit next to somebody and they'd say F or S or, you know, GD or something, and then they'd ask what I do for a living. And I tell them, because you gotta know something, it doesn't bother me. I cannot expect people who don't know Jesus to act like they do. Church, you cannot expect somebody whose heart hasn't been transformed by the transcendent, awesome, mighty power of God to act like they have been changed by God. You can't expect that. You can't expect a kid that grew up in Spain to know how to speak Chinese when he ends up in China. You can't expect people to come through the doors of the church and immediately change the language that they've used all their life, right or wrong. So I don't have any judgment on that. And let me tell you something else. Reactionary words are simply that. They're reactionary words. You hit your hand, your thumb with a hammer, and something comes out. Yeah. It comes out. You could have said, pews, for that matter. Okay? But here's the thing. As we grow up, you all will admit it and I will admit it. Gosh darn shoot doesn't feel the same as other things that come out, do they? It doesn't release the pressure like other things. You're never going to hear me condemn you for that. I would simply say, be careful. Oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Not as much because the Father up above is looking down in love, but little bitty babies are looking up in interest. Okay? One time, I can't say what she said, but I can, but I'm not going to. My daughter, she was just, I mean, 4, 5 years old, all right? She's sitting on a stool in our kitchen. I'm cooking, and she's doing this, all right? And she starts singing this song. I shake my. A. It was cute. But it wasn't cute.
anymore. It is now not your tube, okay? She didn't know. She didn't know. Swearing is a connotative, genotative, cultural issue. But I will give you a warning. Anyone with any intelligence at all, you sound stupid.
That's right.
I'm not being mean. I want you to think about what you're saying. But she's the one that offends most people. God. Okay, my response is, which river? Thank you. Or which person? I mean, when you say it, are you asking God to actually stop something up? Maybe if you have diarrhea, you should yell it. God, my colon! Seriously, have you ever thought about what you're saying? The F word that offends so many people, it's always followed by some strange noun. F, cars. When was the last time we saw that? Yes, cars multiply, sure. It's out of the car lot. I want you all to think about it. I'm not being gross, rude, insensitive. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, you kind of sound dumb. All right? There's nothing intelligent about it. Okay? Reactionary, you may hear, listen, one of the things I'm most afraid of, I don't swear much. I can't say I don't swear at all. I don't swear much. One of my biggest fears in life is that I'll say a word up here. I'll get to talking real fast because y'all know I do it. And I'll say a word incidentally. In fact, it's funny that we're on this verse today because Stephen played a video on Wednesday night. And the guy said, I feel like saying it because it's not, but I won't. But the female dog with an IN on it. He was talking about his license plate. The guy said, I have a license plate. And I was like, not because I thought it was bad, because we were sitting in Bible study. And it felt awkward, you know? But actually, if you think about my license plate was female dogging. Makes perfect sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, okay? So let's just leave it at that. If you want to talk to your kids, don't throw this commandment at them. That cheapens it. And that is not what it's all about. Taking a command and making it what the dad, the mom, the teacher, the preacher wants it to be, cheapens it, which is at the heart of what this is. Now let me teach you what do not take the name of the Lord in vain means. In order to do so, I want to take you to Ecclesiastes. Okay? In Ecclesiastes, Solomon is writing about all that he has learned. He has scoured heaven and earth. All right? He has tried it, smoked it, drank it, slept with it, been around it, thrown it. He's done it all. And he comes up with this thing. He cries out, vanity, vanity. All of it is what? Vanity. All right? Let me translate that for you. The translation of that is meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. Now, the word vain comes from the word vanity. So now listen to the commandment. Do not make the name of the Lord meaningless. There's your commandment. And it's the hardest one for most of us to. What do you mean? I don't say GD. You don't have to. Listen to me. Do not make the name of the Lord meaningless. The name of God is so holy, so righteous, that it was rarely, Yahweh, was rarely spoken by the people. And every time that the original writers wrote the Old Testament, once they got to his name, they would write it. They would destroy the pen that they wrote it with. Get another pen, write until they got to his name again. And once they wrote his name, they were destroyed. It was so sacred. So in the context of that name was held all that this God that they could not fathom or understand was. Okay? I've done this with you before, all right? And I'm sure, nobody can argue that. I am a little bit rambunctious. Nobody would argue that. I am a little bit ADD. Nobody would argue that. I am sometimes loud. Nobody would argue that. But none of those things in a
and of themselves describe me. The only word that is everything that I am is cred. My name encapsulates my marriage, my failures, my children, my pastorate, my love, my hate. It is all of me, all right? There's an old story about Alexander the Great. You all know he was a powerful leader. And he was out one night walking around with his troops. And he found a night watchman who had fallen asleep on his post. And he said, "You wake him and you bring him to me." They shook this guy awake. He knew he had failed. He knew that he was going to have his head cut off. That's the punishment for what was coming. He fell asleep on the watch, and Alexander didn't play. So here's what happens. They bring him to Alexander the Great, who wasn't a very big man. He was just powerful, all right? And he looks him right in the eyes, and he says, "What is your name?" He wasn't expecting the guy to look right back at him and say, "Alexander." And rather than swing a sword, Alexander made this statement: "You change the way you act, or you change your name." Let me ask you a question. You think there's some days that Jesus might want to say that? Christian, Christians. Christ, like little Christ. You think there's some days we can do things and God looks down and goes, "Not with my t-shirt on." Do not make my name, do not flippantly add a swear word to the end of my name. I'll go with you on that one. GD bothers me a little bit because it makes God flippant. And my God is not flippant. Okay? People who wear shirts, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus" shirts, bumper stickers on their car, flipping the bird out the window, honking, yelling at their kids, on the baseball field, just beating down 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy, shaking them. Man, I just started T-ball, and God bless those of you who do it. I'm about this far from going, "No, not anymore." Not because they're bad people. But man, I'm not a very big guy, but I might hulk up if I see it keep on happening like it happened a couple times this last week. And listen, I may be a little guy, this is not a threat, this is just a fact. Once my mouth gets going, you don't want to mess with me. That's just the truth. If I am angry and upset and I want to come at you, it is a bad day for you. And I mean that. I'm not trying to muscle up. I cannot, okay? I wear a gummy, okay? Nobody wears gummy muscles up. But I'm serious, folks. This is something that is, do not call yourself this and live like this. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but because you are neither cold nor hot, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich and do not need a thing,' but you do not realize that you are poor, pitiful, wretched, blind, and naked." I'm going to start quoting some scripture, getting all up in people's grill, and be like, "That was all pitiful, wretched, blind, and naked, and that kid doesn't deserve it. So say the law." I probably get punished, but I don't care. Listen to me, church. We do things that cheapen the name of God. We do things that cheapen the power of the church. We do things that make meaningless the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the third commandment. Live your life in such a way that I am not made meaningless, but that I am made famous. Mm. You, O Lord, the famous one, the famous one, great is your name in all the earth. Everything that he is, his love, his passion, his power, his jealousy, his majesty, his glory, his honor, all of those things are wrapped up in his name. Mm. God, Jesus, Yahweh. They are everything that he is. Do not cheapen them. I have a phrase that I've been using for a while. The people closest to me can tell you what it is. It's a two-word phrase.
Steven, not helping.
Thank you, Steve. What is it again so everybody can hear it?
Not helping.
Not helping. I took a picture recently of a truck. I love y'all, but listen to me. This truck had, I still have it. On the bumper sticker, it was like, If it ain't the 1922 version of the King James Bible, it ain't the Bible. And if you're not reading the Bible, you're going to hell. Oh, good, yummy, thanks. Driving behind you is such a pleasant experience. It tells me all about the love and grace and hope that my Jesus has. You know what you're doing? Not helping. Church signs, they drive me nuts. They drive me nuts, okay? There was a church sign right here in town. I'm not making fun. I'm just going to tell you what happened. It had a Spanish phrase on it. It's not a Spanish church. It's an American church. Here's the thing. They're trying to reach out to the Spanish people, except they didn't spell any of it right. So it looked dumb to me because I know they're American. It looked dumb to the Spanish people because, they can't speak Spanish. They cannot. Come get burrito.
Every time. The first one said, I am the focus. The second one repeated the first one backwards and said, nothing else can be the focus. Anything else that is the focus, even if it's a good thing, family, friends, sports, money, even if it's things that you need, it's still a fail if it gets more than him. Okay? And the third one is, once you claim me, once you point to me, once your heart is drawn to me, do not raise your hands toward heaven and live like hell. Do not intentionally mistreat, misinform, mistake the gospel for something of this world. Do not draw me down. I came to earth to save you. I went to prepare a place for you. You don't try to pull me off. I'll lift you up. You lift me up. I'll pull you with me. The Lord's name in vain is way bigger than words. That's what I need you to understand this morning. Our job is to make Him famous, to glorify Him. The psalmist said it this way, and I love it. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. When you want to magnify something, what do you do with it? You make it bigger. Well, we can't physically make God bigger, but we can make Him more clear, more apparent, more visible to those who've never seen Him. We can make His Scripture more clear, more well-defined, more understandable to those who don't understand it. We can intensify. You ever held a light in a magnifying glass and burned an ant or something like that? You know, yeah. We can intensify His impact on this world. Oh, come and make clear, make known, make famous, magnify, glorify the Lord with me. Let's grab hands and let's shout His name, not His rules, His name together. This is the third commandment. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You all know that we, don't always go down through, this day. We don't let the bulletin dictate our service. We still have a bulletin. You know, part of that is just the gifts and talents of others, whether I need it or not. We do this, and then there's some things in there you can look at. I think we follow this thing. And it used to be when I was growing up, the preacher would preach, and then you'd have the altar call, and then some weeks he'd wait one verse, some weeks he'd wait 27 verses, and then he'd call in somebody who would wait 55 verses until somebody came and got saved, whether they got saved or not, blah, 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 blah. Every Sunday, you respond to God in some way. You respond to Him in ignorance. I'm not cutting you down. We just do. We respond to Him in our own ignorance. We don't get it. We don't understand. We've got other things on our mind. We haven't focused. We haven't become attentive. We weren't called to worship, and therefore we never really worship. We had some great, fantastic worship today that set us up to hear the Word of God. That's healthy, all right? Sometimes we respond to Him by thinking it out. Sometimes we respond to Him by waiting until it's over. I don't know. But this week, we're going to intentionally respond, all right? This week, we're going to intentionally think about the ways we make God famous or the things that we do that might deter people from God. I want to take the first one. Do you have your sights, your mind, your finances, your gifts, your talents set on God? That's number one. Number two, are there anything in this world, around this world, a part of this world, a spouse, some finances, a sport, a team, an idea, a crusade? Is there anything that is more important than God to you? Not with your words, but with your life. And is there any area of your life where God would absolutely call you lukewarm? Where you're wearing His name and shouting His name, on Sundays and then not living it Monday through Friday? Ask yourself those three questions and respond to Him. Listen. The Ten Commandments were given to us not to lay out rules, but to help us understand Him more so we can be more like Him. For He is mighty, He is loving, and He is what we call holy. He is set apart. He is distinct and profound. And that is beyond our comprehension. But every day our job is to reach and pull ourselves that much closer. Jamie's going to come and she's going to sing a song. It's called What Do I Know of Holy? And it basically is about throwing yourself down before Him and going, I don't get it all the time. and I don't understand it, but I want it. I need it. I yearn for it. And I'm asking you, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, with your heads up, your eyes open, I'm asking you as a family not to be concerned about what Joey and Matthew are doing, not to be concerned about what Rob and Megan are doing. What is God doing in you? What is God doing for you? How can you come down here this morning, get on your knees, and speak unto God, speak into your spouse, speak into your children about the areas of your life that need to be made right, made holy, about the places that you're just not helping, turning around and making Him famous? What can you do to make God famous this morning? This is our time of response. The altar's open, the stage is open. How will you respond to the message and the worship and what God is speaking to you about this morning?